Would y'all pray with me? Oh God, we give you thanks for your many blessings and these offerings and gifts which come from your congregation, from your family. Lord, we pray that you would use them to your glory and for your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning we get to welcome a young man into the church and to do a baptism. And so I'm going to invite the Peters family to come up. Noah Peters, who is a part of our confirmation class, wasn't able to be here on Confirmation Sunday because one of the sisters was graduating. Caitlin was graduating, and so that's a pretty good reason to celebrate. And so, Ashley, I'm going to invite you to come up as well. And for all of you, if you would turn in those hymnals, for those of you that go to the second service, that's a red book in front of you. Page 32 there, and you guys might want to grab one as well here. And just as a note, confirmation is the follow-up to infant baptism. It's that coming of faith, that accepting the love of Jesus Christ on his own. And so Noah has gone through the course that Ashley has been leading over the last 9 months and is now here to proclaim his faith before the church, right? Come over here so we can see you. You're the star. Here you go. This is Noah Daniel Peters and his family, Judy, and my mind is going. So Ashley and Caitlin and Judy and Jeff. There we go. All the J's. I got them. All right. Page 33, if you want to look there. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. This morning, I present for you for baptism and confirmation, Noah Daniel Peters, who is also going to be becoming a member of this church. And so on page 34, Noah, this is for you. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races.
I do.
Good. Family, this one's for you. Will you nurture this child? Will you nurture Noah in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he will be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Thank you. According to the grace given to you, this is for everyone in the church. We're skipping up to page 35. Congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they will be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. And if you'll stand with me as we read the Apostles' Creed. Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. And do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I just got back from annual conference. If you're not familiar with the Methodist Church, we are a conference church, and we're divided into local conferences. This is a local conference church. Then we have district conferences. We're part of the El Valle District Conference, and we have an annual conference, which stretches from San Angelo down to the valley. And then there is the general conference of the churches around the world. And part of every annual conference is they do the ordination service. And I attended that, and to watch some of my peers get to take the next step of taking on the yoke of leadership within the church. And that's a special time as leaders come in and recognize this is my calling to follow after God. But the reason I refer to that is because I want to remind each of you that you're all called to ministry. And what we're about to do with Noah here is actually baptizing him into the family of faith, which puts a burden and a yoke on your shoulders that you are responsible not only for your own soul, but for the souls of the world. And that's for each of us, that this covenant that God enters into with us gives us that responsibility. And so, Noah, we use water as a symbol. Water is it reminds us of cleanliness. It reminds us of freshness. It reminds us of new birth. And this is what we will use as we baptize today. And I ask you all to pray with me. Heavenly Father, once again we come to you needing your grace, your love, your spirit, your power. Lord, for this water that is before us, this water that comes from the city system here in Harlingen, there's nothing special about it, other than we are going to use it for a covenant which is bound in the heavens. By the power of your Holy Spirit, God, this is not just tap water. This is a vehicle of your grace. Bless us as we continue in this service. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And family, if you want to come on over and just put a hand on his shoulder. So Noah, Daniel, do you want to stick your head in, or do you want me to bring the water down? Noah, Daniel, Peters, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, child of God, child of the church, peer in love with Jesus Christ, would you welcome Noah Daniel Peters into the faith? And the next part is confirmation, and so I'm going to ask Noah if you'd go over and kneel at the rail over there. Confirmation is his proclamation of faith. He has already declared before you his belief in Christ and his commitment to serve the world. And so as we confirm him this morning, we invite you, his family's going to put hands on him, we're going to put hands on him, but we invite you in your heart to extend a hand of support to him as well.
Noah, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks. You can stand up. And one last question. I know this, it's like getting run through the mill, right? Come here. Come here. So the last part is that you're part of the kingdom of God. The last part is to be a part of this local church, right? And so the commitment to being a member is to share your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your story with this local church. Is that your desire?
Yes.
And is it your desire to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength?
Yes.
And your neighbor as yourself?
Yes.
I know it is. And would y'all stand and welcome him into the church along with me? And as you're standing, let's just have a prayer of blessing. Heavenly Father, thank you once again. We thank you for Noah. We thank you for the Peters family. And God, we pray for Noah and his future. We pray that the hands laid on him today, that the prayers that have been laid on him today, that the water that represents your spirit that has touched his skin today, Lord, that those things would allow him to go forth as a bold young man to proclaim your love and your faith, his faith, wherever he goes. And we just pray a blessing on this family. Continue to guide them and care for them, so that they may know your love and peace every single moment of their lives. We pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, and the church said, amen. 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 Thank you very much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks. Sorry, Ash. All right. So if you look at your bulletin, you'll see the name of my title today. Famous last words. But actually, we're not going to use my last words. We're going to use Jesus' last words as a way to remind ourselves who we are and who we want to be. And I had some notes so I wouldn't forget, and I forgot my notes. There they are. All right. My mind is not working as it normally does this morning. So if you, Megan, you have that. We're going to read from Matthew 28. Matthew 28. This is known as the Great Commission. This has been a big part of what we have tried to, this is Jesus' marching orders. This is after his resurrection, when he had already been seen by the disciples. This is at the very last part of Matthew, as we get from the writer of this gospel. This is how Jesus is leaving his last words for his followers. And you know, if you are with someone at a moment of death and they give you a command or give you a request, you know, there's sort of a duty bound to try to live that out. And that's what he was doing before he returned to the Father. Before he ascended back into heaven, this was his command. Not just for the disciples standing there before him, but for the disciples that would continue to follow him. And so this is what it said, beginning in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, remember Judas had committed suicide because of his betrayal. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. And I just want to pause there for just a moment. Even after the crucifixion and resurrection, even after seeing Jesus on the beach, even after talking with the dead man, there was still some people who doubted. Some of the disciples doubted. And so I just want to share that with you, that if you struggle in your faith and you struggle making sense of this book and you struggle living out this, you're not alone. And God still loves you and he still has purposes for you. So that's okay. Verse 18. This is what we call the Great Commission. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And this is the word of the Lord for us this morning. Thanks be to God. So as Jesus was wrapping up his earthly ministry, this ministry that had been planned before the formation of the world, we're told in Colossians, before God even created the light and darkness, before it went from nothingness to something, whatever that was, if it was Big Bang or science or however you understand that, before there was something, God already had a plan of how he was going to redeem his creation. And this plan that Jesus, over all those years of God revealing himself and making himself known, connecting with a people, and then Jesus coming to earth, God putting on flesh to come and be among us. And he had walked this earth for 30, 33 years. People disagree on how, but somewhere in his 30s, for 30 years, Jesus was a part of this earth. And for 3 years, Jesus had a public ministry. And he gathered this ragtag group of disciples and had taught them and demonstrated for them. And they'd seen some amazing things. They had seen him do miracles. They had seen him raise people from the dead. They'd seen blind people that could see and lame people that could walk and people with demons with them cast out and villages turned around in their beliefs and their faith. They had seen some awesome things for them. And as he was leaving, once his mission on earth was completed, after dying for our sins and paying the price for our salvation, so that the offering for our sin in order to remain in relationship with God was paid on our behalf by a perfect sacrifice, once accomplishing all of this, with one last thing to say, I want you to understand what that was. Because if we don't remember this, this is where church gets wonky, right? When we forget what Jesus' actual desire for the church is, we start to go down bad rabbit trails. If we forget and think that church is about serving our wants and our needs, we forget what church is about. If we start to think that church is about a beautiful place where you get to sit and sing songs or whatever, that's part of what we do in church, but that's not the purpose of church. Those things are part of the purpose of how we reach people to do what I'm going to tell you in just a moment. Church is not about you. Church is about the mission of Jesus Christ. It's God's plan to redeem the world. The number one thing God wants to do in this church, you know what it is? Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. It's striking to me all the things he didn't say. He didn't say go build hospitals. He didn't say go do the. He didn't say protest against the government. Go take a stand against those who are immoral. Go run them off of the. Go make disciples. A disciple is a student, a learner. Discipleo is the Greek word. It was a student. It was someone who put themselves under the care and nurture of someone wiser and greater. They patterned their life after that person. He says, I want you to become my disciple and then go make other disciples. The purpose of our church, folks, is to follow that command of Jesus Christ. And as long as we continue to do this, as long as you continue to do that, this church will thrive. But if you forget, and if we start to make it about anything other than making disciples, John 15 has a different way of saying it. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And folks, I love this church. I'm trying to wait till the end to do this, but I can't do it. I love this church. I've been here for 7 years as your senior pastor, but I've been a part of this church since 1990. When two little old ladies hired me and Lori to come from Colorado to the Rio Grande Valley in what our parents still think was the stupidest decision of our lives. And at that point, we thought we were going to go to this tropical paradise in Harlingen for a couple of years, get some experience, and then return to Colorado to be a teacher and a basketball coach. And yet, that's not what happened. We became members of this church. I became a leader for the youth program. I heard the call of God through the teaching of people in this room. I answered that call with their prayers and their encouragement. You sent me to seminary in Asbury and helped out with that with prayers and scholarships. It's your fault. While I'm in seminary, people from this congregation would check on me and write me and encourage me. Some of them have gone on to glory now and already have received their rewards, but they were instrumental in helping me progress in my ministry. Came back to the Rio Grande Valley in Los Fresnos, and even though I was in Los Fresnos, there was still a relationship here with this church through Emmaus events and district camps and all that kind of stuff. And then for the last 7 years, I've had the privilege of being your pastor. And I mean that. It's a privilege. There have been special sacred moments that many of us have shared. And sometimes they've been filled with tears. And a few times they've been filled with angry exchanges. And sometimes they've been scary. And sometimes they've been glorious and wonderful. But in all of it, I believe that God has been a part of it and walked with us each day. I want to begin by saying thank you. You don't have to welcome me into your life. The bishop that was preaching the ordination service said, have you ever thought how weird it is that we travel around and go to people's churches and make them like us and they have to pay us and they don't get any say in it? The Methodist system is weird. We just get appointed here. You have to like just accept us. Hey, here we are. Like it or not, I'm your pastor, right? And I'm going to miss Rusty too. He speaks out the voice in the back of my head when I'm planning the service. But you have welcomed us in. You've allowed us into those moments. And just because I'm a pastor doesn't know that I know how to handle it when you've lost someone dear to you. I don't know how to handle it when you're having a crisis of faith. I rely on what we've been singing about this morning, the power of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing I have done that ended up good that came from my mind or my ideas. Anything good has been by the grace of God. Which leads me to my next thing. I want to say thank you, but I also want to say I'm sorry. Because I know there are things that I've done or said that have hurt you or been taken the wrong way or left the wrong impression, maybe made you consider going to another church or whatever. But I want you to know there was no malice in that. And I have a story where I had left my childhood church because of injury from a pastor, and it took me a long ways to get over that. And I just want you to hear from me if that happened. It was not intended, and I apologize. And please don't let my missteps or my misactions get in the way of a wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. His love is eternal. Don't base that on me. And then finally, I want to talk to you about your new pastor a little bit. I just want to encourage you. I don't know JJ all that well. We have worked together for a little bit. We have HD cameras for live stream. They don't need to see the snot bubble coming out of my nose. That's what I was apologizing for right there. But I want to talk to you about you. Will you put JJ's picture back up there again? Okay, so this whole thing called ministry, man, it's something weird. I don't know JJ all that much, but what I do know of him, we have different backgrounds. He's from Egypt. He went to UT. That makes him suspect in my mind. There's lots of things that we're different in. I'm tall and good looking. He's short and I don't know, but Amy thinks he's great, but. we have a lot of difference. We have different personalities and stuff too. But here's one thing I will tell you that we both have in common, and it's the most important thing. Both of us gave our lives, knelt down before the bishop. That comes at the end of a very long journey of learning and teaching and discernment by the conference and churches. But at the end of that journey, we both knelt down before the bishop to have them place hands on us to say, take authority to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to watch over the sacraments and to take care of the order within the church. And both of us have answered that call, and both of us would do whatever is in our power to make that happen. He will have different methods. He will do it in different ways. He has a different personality. But with all, that's the beautiful part of God's kingdom. It's in the diversity that we see the wonder of God. There are things that JJ will excel in that I suck in. And there are things that I have done well that he will struggle in. That's not a bad thing. The only person I know who meets every aspect of ministry needed for the church is Jesus, right? And that's why that is who we stand behind. That's who we pledge our love to. So as a church, I just want to implore you and beg you, please begin praying. I know you have already been praying for him, but make that a practice. Give him a chance. He'll say something that you, I remember when I first got here, because of my sarcasm and stuff, so many people thought, oh my, because you took me seriously. That first summer, I remember I said something like, we love our building too much, it'd be good if it disappeared or burned down. And I went on vacation the next week for 2 weeks, and I came back and I wasn't even in the community. I was in the grocery store, and one of the cashiers said, aren't you the pastor of Methodist Church? And I said, yeah. And she goes, I heard you said you wanted to burn down your church. Whoa! I was really glad there wasn't a fire while I was gone. I would have been charged with arson, but no, I mean, it was sarcasm. I was making a point. He's going to say, give him a chance. Give him the benefit of the doubt, right? We're human. We have ideas. We're going to say things, do things, but if you will bring a heart of generosity to him, he will share a heart of generosity with you. In the New Testament, Paul implores, don't make it hard for your leaders. That doesn't help anybody. Pray for them, encourage them. Make it a privilege to serve before you, and that's my prayers for you. If you want to hold him account, here's where you hold him accountable. We are going to be a church that follows the Great Commission. We want to make disciples. We want to serve our community. We want the poor and the neglected and those who have been pushed off by the church and those who have been pushed out of by society. We want to reach out for them. We want to have open doors. We want to have a welcoming congregation. We want to be a church where anyone and everyone can walk in and feel welcome and accepted. That's where you can push him. That's where you hold him accountable. It's weird that we have to come and you have to just accept us, but the other weird part is we have to come and like you. Right? One of my favorite sayings is, I get paid to go to church and be good. You're good for nothing. So that's da-dum-bum. That's right? It's an adjustment. Everything is new. You can't read the Bible without seeing that God does new things over and over and over again. And every time it's scary, and every time the people were like, oh God, why have you forsaken us? And every single time, God can do something better. And I know some of you that have ridden the Methodist train for a while are saying, yeah, but I remember, and there was that one pastor. Well, read the Old Testament. It happened to Israel all the time. But no matter who was in charge, whoever, who was the king, no matter who was the one carrying the mantle, the Lord God was the one who was in charge. And even what Satan means for evil, the Lord can use for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Love him fiercely, with all the passion and kindness and generosity you can. I've told him, we have created a dynamic congregation that wants to serve the world, that you will challenge him, that you will hold him accountable, but this is a church filled with good people, and we look forward to more good people coming to be a part of it. Don't make me a liar. It's a tradition as you leave a church to leave something for the next pastor as a symbol of our ministry and something to carry on with him. And so, I am leaving him. The royal flip-flops. And so Lisa and those who are in charge of SPRC stuff, I want you to present this to him on your first Sunday. But it's not what you think. Some of you have figured this out about me, and some of you still question my sanity, but let me just remind you why I do this. There are so many walls between the church and the community. There are so many people that have been hurt throughout their growing up in the church, or somebody said something in the church. There are so many people who have been distanced from the church because of, you know, sometimes bad churches happen to good people, right? And there are already so many walls. And many of you get this. When you are making that entrance back in the church, it seems like an impossible thing to walk through those doors because you are sure somebody's going to judge you or think they're better than you, and you're sure that there's like a shining red sinner shining off of your forehead. And what I have tried to do throughout my ministry is to take down one more of those walls. And if my casual dress and my unkempt toenails and my shorts can make somebody feel a little more comfortable, that's why I do that. JJ's not going to wear these in church, I don't think. He's a little more formal than I am, and that's good. But I want him to carry the Spirit. That anyone and everyone, whether you are the richest person in town or whether no one knows your name and you're wandering through, we want everyone to feel at home here. And this is a symbol of that. I'm going to wait till the dinner to do more stuff, because otherwise I'll lose it and we'll be here and it's going to be ugly and it's on HDTV and I don't want to do that. I just want to end the Great Commission. Make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them all the things that I have taught you. That's the job of the church. Those are the things we do. But I just want to leave you with this, the last promise. It's not the pastor who's going to make the church work. It's a partnership with laity and clergy that helps it go forward, but never forget that the church belongs to Jesus Christ. And the very last verse of Matthew 28 says, "Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." God is with you. He has been before you were born. He has walked with you every day of your life. There's not a moment he's been apart from you, and he has your future planned into eternity. The Lord is faithful and just. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be with you. Put your trust there. Would you bow with me and let's pray? A band, come on back up. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, why don't you grab a hand next to you? Heavenly Father, We just submit ourselves once more to your love, to your grace, to your leading. We thank you for these people surrounding us, this church family. And God, we want to continue to be a church that glorifies your name, that serves the poor, that serves the needy, that serves the brokenhearted, that helps us grow in our faith, that helps us grow in our witness, and calls us to ministry. We pray for JJ and Amy and Levi and Benjamin. May they be blessed. Watch over them over these next days as they move and settle in and become a part of this community. But God, most of all, we just thank you for your great love. This morning, the Peters have been with us, and we baptized Noah, and Noah's coming to the church. And many of you know that his brother Nick passed away this year. And Nick, one of the things throughout his sickness that gave him comfort and helped him to connect, one of the great things that did that was the Lord's Prayer. And I just would appreciate it if we could pray that together as we close the service. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen.